God is moving on the streets.
If we can touch that one gang member with that one word, we can reach entire gangs. We can reach entire cities.
We, the people of God, are going to bring the light into the darkness.
They're like sheep without a shepherd.
They don't know him yet.
A lot of times they feel trapped.
Anyone that's growing in light is going to have an increasing heart for those who are in darkness.
Go in his power and in his love and demonstrate who he is.
I say few people made a believer out of me.
We send them out two by two.
To a wounded and dying world. Not to condemn, but to love.
Know his love, man. He really loves you.
The dead raised, the sick healed, devils cast out in great measure, the poor looked after, and it should be normal Christianity.
God's heart burns for the lost, and he wants us to take the prophetic to the streets.
Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's program. We're going to take you into New Orleans over 1 year after the disaster struck. What is God doing? You'll find out. Stay tuned.
Washed them out. Look, all them out.
These houses were here. They were pushed over there. All these houses were pushed.
Oh, the water pushed them over.
Yeah,
the foundation. Wow.
These are all houses.
All that. They pushed off foundation.
Yeah.
Look at the curtains.
Oh my gosh, eh?
Gathered, the only thing that has been done is repair the areas that breached to pre-Katrina levels. The areas that didn't breach may be just as weak as the areas that breached, you know, and a lot of those areas haven't even, you know, there's nothing been done to those.
We know that in the end times there's going to be a lot of catastrophic events, and I remember back in 1995, in February of that year, I had a very powerful open vision concerning the end times and the various things that were going to be happening in that period. And one of the things that I saw was a lot of catastrophic events that involved like earthquakes, tsunamis, all kind of natural disturbances in the earth. And so I think that we're in an hour now where we can say that a lot of these things are happening on a regular basis, and a lot of people live in fear because they don't know where it's going to strike next, or if there's going to be wars or more earthquakes or hurricanes or tsunamis or whatever. Well, in this time where we're seeing so much disaster, we need to understand that God has raised us, his people, up to bring comfort in the midst of that turmoil, but also to work miracles, to show forth the mighty signs of his presence and of his love. And so we went to New Orleans 1 year after the disaster, and just checked up on what was happening there. We had heard that when the disaster took place, that actually the church was basically the first one in. It was just absolutely amazing the way the body of Christ responded to the needs in New Orleans. When we went there just recently, we were still seeing the church involved in feeding programs and looking after the poor with clothing, with furnishing families with supplies that they needed to start up all over again. It was wonderful. And we heard that when the disaster happened, it was like Christians came in from all over. And there was truckloads of all kinds of supplies that came in, because churches would get together and donate money and donate clothing and food and equipment and everything that had been lost. It was just remarkable. And so it was a very good testimony. We also realized that the same thing happened in Indonesia. The church was one of the first ones in. Now, the Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. And in the book of Revelation, we read a lot about the judgments of God, and that God is just in all of his ways, and that God's judgments are just. And yet a lot of times we feel afraid to talk about judgments, because we think, well, why would God want to judge people? Isn't he a love God? Isn't he full of mercy and kindness? Why would he want to judge people. Why would he want to judge situations? Well, it's because he's righteous. You know, God sets his word in place, and even the thou shalt do this and the thou shalt do that and the thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that for a purpose. It is because when we live according to his way, it is the best way for us to live. It's like a manufacturer who makes and invents something knows the way that that thing that he manufactured is supposed to function. He knows how it can function with optimum performance because he was the inventor. He made it. So he writes the manufacturer's handbook so that everyone who purchases that item will know how to maintain it, will know how to look after it, will know how to get the best performance out of it. If the performance of that vehicle or item isn't used according to its proper way, it will deteriorate, it will break, it will be destroyed. It's just the way it is because it's violating its purpose. He made us. He created us, so he knows the best way for us to live. So when the enemy comes in and tries to deceive us to say, oh, it doesn't matter what God says, just do this instead. Oh, just do that instead. Then that disturbs the harmony that God has made between him and man and us and the earth that we live in. And so God said, thou shalt not kill for a reason. When people kill each other, it's harmful to relationships for sure, but it destroys the world around us, puts fear in our midst. When we get addicted to substances, you know, and start stealing from others, it violates people's peace. You know, he has reasons why he puts his laws in place. It's so that we can have a good life, an abundant life. And so sometimes he allows the consequence of man's sin and even natural catastrophes to do what is called, or to perform a judgment against that which harms people. What we noticed when we were in New Orleans was when we went on a tour, is the region that was destroyed through the hurricane and through all the water damage was an area that was a very low area as far as the geography went. But there was people that lived in that area. It was a high crime area. It was a place where there was a lot of poverty, a lot of single mothers who felt trapped, a lot of drug addiction, lots of murders, lots of lawlessness. And that was the area that got completely wiped out by the hurricane, completely wiped out. The good thing was, is that because authorities could see it coming, there was warning given, and mostly all the people were evacuated. So they left the area before the hurricane destroyed their homes. So they went to a place of safety where they were looked after, where they were fed, where they were housed, where they had a place to sleep. Many of them had to go into different places, even different cities, where they were reestablished and relocated in those places. And I even know of some situations where the poor were even given beautiful homes to live in and jobs and employment, and were given help and counsel. It was just awesome for many of the families. And others were taken out of that area where maybe they never would have been able to get out otherwise. They would have been trapped in that kind of environment forever. So even though it could have been judgment, and I know there's lots of controversy over that. Some people say, oh, God would never do that. Couldn't possibly be a judgment. And maybe it was, and maybe it wasn't. The biggest thing to look at, though, is that even if it was judgment, God triumphs over judgment with his mercy. Even if it was an assault of the enemy, God triumphs over that with victory. Because what the enemy purposes for harm, the Lord works together for good. And so many of the people that we met had actually moved to a good life rather than a destructive one. We also had an opportunity to meet with some of the pastors and leaders of churches in the area that helped the poor at that time and are still continuing to help the poor and heavily involved in evangelism outreach and pastoring and mentoring these people that were harmed or suffered loss. And this was a really cool testimony, is that one of the pastors pastor said that when the disaster happened, he didn't have that much money. His church wasn't that big of a church, although it had a significant work in the area. And he said, Lord, we've got to help these people, and we need seed to sow. And so the Lord brought in all this food and supplies and finance and everything, so they were able to help the poor. So God supplied the seed so that they could sow it. And then as things progressed, they were even able to buy, because they need more room, they were able to pay cash for a building to help even further their outreach, where they have never paid cash for a building before. And I kind of chuckled with him. I said, you know, isn't that the Lord, that you have nothing but you want to give, so you ask him, he gives it to you, you give it, and he says, well done, I really like the way you sowed, and now I'm going to give you a building. It's just marvelous. And in our God Talk today, we're going to take you into the French Quarter, which is another story again. But I just want you to be encouraged, because even in the midst of disaster, good things happen. There's going to be many things that happen in these days ahead. There's going to be more wars and rumors of wars and disasters and assaults, attacks, rumblings in the earth, all kinds of things. But we don't need to fear, because those of us who know God, we are of a heavenly and divine kingdom, and we have a security in him, and he's going to empower us to help others. Do you know that in places where there's lots of disaster, there's lots of miracles? When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up the standard against him. Where there's judgment, mercy triumphs over judgment. When we know God, all things work together for good. You and I are called to be those that will be his hand extended in the midst of darkness, light in the midst of darkness, grace in the midst of trouble. You and I have a great call upon our life. We'll be right back.
There's an area in the city that almost immediately God led us into, and it was such a high crime area before the storm, it was called the kill zone. And weeks prior to the storm, there was I believe it was 7 shootings in one night on the same corner. 2 of them died and the rest were hospitalized. So the crime was really high in the area. And we've seen that, you know, it was washed out with the storm. Coming back, the amazing thing was that God allowed us to go in and make our presence, you know, his presence known. And felt in that neighborhood. And as people return, it's amazing to see that, you know, we're allowed in the neighborhood, and that they recognize us, and that we can walk in through that neighborhood and not be harmed. And I think that the Lord has just given us a step into the neighborhood to be able to minister to these people. We drive by some of the most dangerous neighborhoods and some of the most dangerous corners with the most dangerous action going on. There's been an unbelievable number of murders, you know, even in the past couple of months in these areas. But I believe that, you know, God is just on the move, and he's going to transform this city. I will not stop believing that he has a plan for this city, and that his kingdom is going to be built in the city.
Almost everyone in the whole world is aware that New Orleans has a reputation. For what? Well, in the French quarters, there is, let's call it a life of promiscuity, of partying, of occultism, of perversion. All those things are exported in a way through the French quarters of the New Orleans region. And when the hurricane struck, what baffled many of us was like, Lord, why did the poor get all their homes taken out? And you know, why did all that disaster happen there? But in the French quarters, where there's so much blatant evil, although there's good things happening there too, I have to admit, there's some really good restaurants and good food, but where there's so much promiscuity, and during the Mardi Gras, people come from all over the world, and there's just like almost, you know, there's no law during that time. Everything just does, or everyone just does whatever they do. Why is it that the French quarters wasn't touched? And so when we went back there, we noticed that it was very interesting that a lot of the shops were empty, a lot of the owners of shops that had maybe been involved with, you know, lustful things and occultism and stuff like that. Those shops closed down. Why? Because of what happened to New Orleans, a lot of the tourist industry fell apart.
Normally, both sides of the benches will have rows of booths that they're for witchcraft, for fortune telling, for card reading, for other kinds of new age and magic, and it's just booth after booth, you know, and there's street dancers, street musicians, and just a full. Oh, every day. Every day.
They used to be lined up all down there and down there, so people could go line on line, all down there and all down here, and now there isn't one. This one lone booth is here. It's time for the church to move in, possess, and occupy. There was hardly any people showed up for the Mardi Gras, so it was, you know, a big flop this last year. And you think, God, you're the all-wise God. You love people so much, but you just want good things in your earth. You don't want things that hurt other people. We also found out that in the very week that the hurricane happened, there had been, a parade planned that wasn't going to be that which edified the Lord's word for sure. And it was that which would have violated a lot of biblical principles. And there was thousands and thousands of people booked to enter New Orleans and have that parade there at the time. The biggest parade of its kind in the whole wide world. But because of the hurricane, it never happened. You know, God has his hand on New Orleans. Go with us now into the French quarters. You're going to be excited about what you see.
The amazing thing is here we are. 9 months, 10 months, almost 11 months after the storm, and this place is empty. With this place, this Jackson Square is famous for the witchcraft, for fortune telling, for tarot cards, for a different kind of witches would do, a new age would perform their arts here, and would attract people, whether tell them their future or whatever. And so it was boots are here crawling. I mean, I know this is some sort of a freak cold weather beater. You know, there'll be always booths everywhere and attracting a lot of tourists. They want us, you know, and they're doing it. It's gone, completely gone. 11 months after, they're still gone. I mean, I'm just like going, yay, Lord. We can never get rid of that. I mean, we can never figure out. We come and worship and we do all kinds of things and we get kicked out unless we have a, you know, permit to do a, you know. But We can never see how this is going to be going away. It's like here to stay. But no, it's gone. It's gone. One night and it's gone. All this debauchery is gone. All this witchcraft is gone. The Mardi Gras was a flop this year. Complete flop. The smallest and the most. But there was no excitement. It was like it was flat.
And you've been down here for years praying.
Yes.
You know, praying that the demonic
the Lord will change the city. For 9 years we've been here, you know, and no matter what kind of outreach we do, we can't get it. I mean, we had awesome individual experiences. We'll move on down to the Bourbon Street to show you what happened there. But here it is so amazing because, like, you can't find a spot, you know. And they pay, I think they pay with the city, and the city will allow them, and they just do their witchcraft. And so to me, the Lord is saying, now you come and prophesy. Because we need to have, like, the prophetic telling the truth to
there
people about destiny.
We need the prophetic booths of the Lord and the dream interpretation, everything right here on
right
the same street. Just come and occupy it.
Come and occupy. To me, Katrina was like the apostolic spirit of Paul came and cleared the demonic out of that. Remember that? Out of that Philippi. That's how he started the church. He cleared the demon out. She can't tell anymore fortune teller. He lost the power. And then he prophesied the destiny and started the church, you know. So that's what we need. We need the apostles, the prophets to come and to prophet. The city is clean. It's cleaned out.
And now we have to fill it up. We have to fill it.
Exactly.
We have to put the prophetic booths in and dream interpretations.
Exactly.
Things that are going to give people hope.
Exactly.
And reveal their destiny.
Oh, Jesus. We call it in. We call it in. We call the street evangelist, we call the prophetic evangelist to come and fill the air with the destinies of God.
Amen. Can you just imagine what that's going to be like when the church does possess and occupy? Oh, I can't tell you what it was like to see that empty street where once there were sorcerers and witches and occultics out there doing all their stuff, and people coming and lining up and paying money for all those false prophecies, and to go there and find that it was all empty. The only sad part about it being empty, it's good that all the false stuff was driven out, but church, we really do have to possess and occupy. And I get excited to think about, you know, the dream interpreters and the destiny word readers and the free spiritual readings and the free prayer booths and everything that we can set up in places like that. It's time for us to replace darkness with light. It's not just enough to drive the darkness out, really. We need to replace it with the light. And so my prayer is that each and every one of us will get fresh inspiration from the Lord on how we can maybe promote His kingdom in unique and creative ways, and even find places like, you know, after a disaster hits, and go in there and scout it out and say, well, what can we do? What can we do to replace what was dark with pure light and love for the glory of His name? Let's pray into that, and let's take some action and do it. You know Jesus from when you were young?
When I was young, I
had a heart,
Jesus,
yeah.
But I lost Jesus' phone number for a minute.
Why did you lose him?
You understand? I don't know. I misplaced his number.
I'll give you his number back again.
I found
it. Okay.
I did find his number, and I called him up, and guess what? It was like yesterday.
Really? You
Believe
called him yesterday? And today he sent us on the street to proclaim destiny over you.
He told you that today.
He told you that just for you.
I appreciate you, baby. God bless.
Okay. God bless. Well, you listen to what was said, because he's drawing your heart back to him fully, 100%. Because where you're walking right now isn't where he's going to have you walk.
That's not right.
No. Okay.
But I walked there one day.
Do you want to come back to Jesus right now?
Right now?
Yeah, right now. Do you want to come back to him right now?
Come on,
he says, here's my hand.
The message you preached,
come on
up. Even more beautiful. And I said, pray with you.
Okay. You'll let me pray with you?
Yes.
Okay.
What's no, you'll let me pray with you.
What's your name?
Andrew.
I'm going to pray for you, okay? Lord, I ask that you bless Andrew. I ask, Lord God, that you would bind his feet to the path that you have destined for him, and that you'll release the lightnings of glory, the lightnings of God into his life, to bring everything into your divine order, to bring everything into its rightful place. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you too, in Jesus.
Destiny Words are prophetic words of encouragement from the heart of God just for you.
There's a radical young man watching this program right now, and you are just so excited. You're saying, well, I mean, I would go to New Orleans, or I would go here, I would go there. I'd go anywhere to be doing all this stuff. And so in the name of Jesus, I just commission you to go for it. Get into a really good, strong church if you're not in one yet, and get backed by your leaders. And then just see what God will open up for you, and just go for it. Because I can feel your zeal. The Lord's allowing me to feel your zeal, and it's very exciting. I'm also getting a word for a young gal right now. You actually make jewelry. I see all kinds of little beads, and you're making necklaces and bracelets. And every bead that you put on has a prophetic quality to it. It's like, you know, a purple bead might mean one thing, and a yellow bead might mean something else, and a certain shape of bead might mean something else. And you've been doing this for a little while now, and you get so much joy in doing it. You pray over every piece of jewelry. And you've been selling them even to people in your church and at different places in the Christian community. But the Lord's giving you a vision through this program to take them to the unsaved. And I just see this, like, I don't know if it's in a park or something, but I see a mat out on some grass, and you've got a little sign up about jewelry, but you've prayed over every single little piece. And whoever buys that jewelry is going to get touched by the Lord, because His presence is on it. And you've actually already had this thought come to you, but you weren't, you know, you haven't solidified the plan for it. But God's going to use you in that way. It's so cool. I love that idea. There's also another creative idea I'm getting right now that the Lord's showing me, that there's someone that's watching this program, and you either work in a bakery or you own a bakery. But anyways, you make baked goods, and they get distributed to people on an everyday basis. And the light's going to go on today within your creative mind, that there's going to be some kind of impartation through prayer in every single little piece of bakery. baked goods that goes out to people, and they're going to be touched by it. I even see little notes, or it's like business card things with special little, very subtle messages, but it's just about God's love. And the Lord's love is going to go with that, and it's going to go with you in it. Reminds me of a story. I just want to share this with you, is that I was baking bread one day, made an extra loaf, and put a little note on it saying, Jesus loves you, and sent it with one of my son's friends down to his mother. And she hadn't come out of the house for months. I hadn't seen her, and he took it into her. And it was like a number of months later, I got to chat with her and lead her to the Lord, and she pulled this little note out of her purse that day. And she said, you know this little note that you put on the bread? I read it every day. Every single day, because no one's ever told me that I was loved before. And through that loaf of bread and this little note, that's what opened up my heart to bring me to this point. And she got born again because of a prayed over loaf of bread and a little note on it that was had some blessing. There's someone also watching the program right now that when you were little, your mother used to pray for you. And you're in your 50s now, actually, and you are not following the Lord. But when you were little, you used to kneel beside your bed and you used to pray this prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And it was that prayer that you prayed every night with your mother as you went to sleep. But you never did walk with the Lord. It was just something that you did, you know, because it was what you did every night. But you used to think about Jesus and wonder and ask God questions. And now you're in your 50s and you look back on your life and it just seems so empty. And the God that you prayed to as a child is reaching out to you right now. And he says, son, if you will give your heart to me, I'll make the rest of your life the best that you could ever imagine. Because I'm a God that has been watching over you all those years, ever since you prayed to me as a child. I'm with you right now. Why don't you surrender your heart to me fully, and I'll lead you on in a really wonderful and prosperous way. And I will restore the years that the locust has devoured. And you know how you do that, sir? You just simply ask him to come in. You're living in the midst of a crisis right now. It's a horrible situation that you're in, but God can put all those pieces back together. And so just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for making all these mistakes in life and for walking away from you. But I ask you to forgive me of all my sin and come into my heart right now. I want you to be my God. I want you to be my Savior. And I receive you as Savior and Lord. And you know what just happened, sir? You became born again. You have a God who loves you. He is your own personal God, and your name has been written in the book of life in heaven. Welcome into the family of God. And if you'll go on our website at extremeprophetic.com, there's some New Christians Bible studies there, and we can get you started. Write us at info@extremeprophetic.com and let us know that you gave your heart to Jesus Christ today, and we'll send you a little gift, okay? Bless you. This is an hour when we need all hands on deck. Amen? That means you. So, Lord, I pray for all my friends that are watching that you will especially anoint them and equip them and give them everything that they need so that they can go out and do that kingdom work. They can do it in the supermarkets, on the streets, in the hospitals, in disaster areas, wherever you send them. And now, everyone, here's a special destiny word just for you. You can take this word to the world around you. It's this: God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. We'll see you next time.